Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Happy to be here with you today on this first weekend of the month that sees an end to summer and the ushering in of fall. Thanks for joining me on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Last week, we talked a lot about federal Judge Sarah Evans Barker's ruling that opened up the use of telemedicine for chemical abortions here in Indiana, and that allowed for the expansion of late-term abortions in the state. In regards to obtaining the abortion pill through telehealth services, many state and national pro-life leaders have been seeing this deadly crisis coming because the abortion industry for years has been pushing for women to have complete and legal access to the abortion pill in the absence of any in-person visits and delivered to women in the privacy of their own home. And the COVID pandemic has provided the fertile environment to grow this infective agent. We're going to talk about the rapidly growing trend of the chemical self-abortion and the impact that it will have on the pro-life movement. But before we go any further, let's begin in prayer. St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In a 5-4 decision handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court late Wednesday night, justices denied an emergency request from pro-abortion groups to temporarily block the enforcement of a Texas law that bans elective abortions after a preborn baby's heartbeat is detected by standard methods of medical practice. The judgment by the High Court allowed the Texas pro-life bill, which was signed by Governor Greg Abbott back in May, to take effect on September 1st. The law is unique in that it allows private citizens to sue those who violate the measure, making it more likely for the statute to be upheld in legal challenges. Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett made up the majority decision, which did not resolve whether the Texas law is constitutional, but only upheld the lower court's decisions while the case continues on. Pro-life organizations are nonetheless hailing the victory and are grateful for the thousands of babies' lives that are expected to be saved as a result of it. Pro-life groups are also reaching out to pregnant women across Texas, offering resources and support to help them and their unborn babies. It is uncertain for just how long the law will remain in effect or if it will even ultimately be upheld as constitutional by the Supreme Court. And in response to the new Texas heartbeat bill, baptized Catholic and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has vowed to bring a radical pro-abortion bill up for vote when lawmakers reassemble later this month. During a press conference, Pelosi slammed the Texas pro-life law, calling it dangerous dangerous and a flagrantly unconstitutional assault on women's rights and health. This ban necessitates codifying Roe v. Wade, Pelosi said. Upon our return, the House will bring up Congresswoman Judy Chu's Women's Health Protection Act to enshrine into law reproductive health care for all women across America. Chu's measure, H.R. 3755, seeks to, quote, protect a person's ability to determine whether to continue or end a pregnancy and to protect a health care provider's ability to provide abortion services, close quote. If passed and signed by the president, the law would invalidate nearly all state and local pro-life laws, including bans on late-term abortions and parental consent laws for minors, bans on taxpayer-funded abortions, and bans on sex selection abortions. Conscience protections for those medical personnel who do not want to be involved with abortion would also be at a great risk. And finally, to start the month of September off on a good note, there were no unborn children killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past week. Foot traffic did pick up significantly, however, with the return of IU students to campus. Even though Thursday saw no abortions, there was abortion counseling going on. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners remained on hand to reach out to the women going in to offer hope, love, and help. One woman said that she had already explored all of her options and believed that abortion was really her only choice. Please keep this young woman in your prayers, as well as the many others who come to 421 South College Avenue. May God work many miracles there for His honor and glory and for the building up of a culture of life and love. And that's your weekly in the news. A few years back, I sat in on a little pro-life roundtable held in Indianapolis with some national leaders. One of those in attendance was Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America. And I'll never forget the first words out of Kristen's mouth. They went something like this. The pro-life movement is woefully unprepared for what is coming. Soon, the majority of abortions are going to be taking place in areas that we will not be able to get to, like on school campuses and in private homes. The abortion industry is moving full steam ahead to normalize and encourage do-it-yourself abortions through the abortion pill. I'll be honest, at the time, I could not imagine that women would really go for this. But when you've got Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers telling them that it's no big deal and that for a few bucks, all their problems can be solved, even within the privacy of their own residence, well, too many desperate women go too easily along for the ride. In a column penned in April of last year by Margie Dannenfelser, the president of the national pro-life group Susan B. Anthony List wrote, "If the abortion lobby's ultimate dream succeeds, brick-and-mortar facilities will become obsolete. The next frontier is the expansion via telemedicine and the mail of so-called self-managed abortion using dangerous drugs, a supremely ironic turn for a movement that wields the coat hanger as a fearful symbol of the time before Roe v. Wade. Chemical abortions, already comprising 30-50% of U.S. abortions, could skyrocket." Dannenfelser was sounding the alarm because as Americans were finding themselves in lockdown due to the virus, the FDA was rolling back safety regulations governing the abortion pill. Dannenfelser noted the irony of it being too dangerous to leave home, but not to take abortion drugs without medical supervision. The pandemic became the great pretext to making abortion as ubiquitous as Tylenol, she said, which has been the abortion industry's goals for years. There are many reasons why the abortion industry prefers to go the chemical abortion route, including for obvious motives like reduced overhead, cost, and accountability. They can make a lot of money off of the abortion pill, especially if it's done through telemed. They also see threats to abortion access coming from conservative judges and all the new restrictive state abortion laws. Abortion providers also do not like to deal with the pro-lifers who are out there on the sidewalks in front of abortion centers because they know that the presence of sidewalk counselors and prayer warriors impact the women who are going in. So, for example, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood can charge $900 for a surgical abortion and have to bring in an abortionist to perform the surgery and absorb all the costs associated with that, deal with the disposition of the remains of the unborn babies, plus have the women come in and perhaps be persuaded or at least have their consciences aroused by the pro-life Christians who are outside there. Or the Bloomington Planned Parenthood can charge $900, have the woman meet via telemedicine with a doctor or an advanced practice clinician who might even be located clear across the country, mail the pill to her home, and they're done. No dealing with the fetal remains or any problems the woman might have, nor those pesky pro-lifers. Much less headache, bigger profits. It's a no-brainer to see which choice they'll push for. And now Judge Barker's recent ruling permits Planned Parenthood to be off and running with telemed and chemical abortions. Now, to be fair, Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers are not the only and maybe not even the biggest problems when it comes to these chemical abortions. There are plenty of websites out there where any woman who wants to get a hold of the abortion pill can easily do so, and often at a much lower price than if she went directly to a verified abortion provider. One such site can be found at PlanCPills.org. Their website states that they are a team of veteran public health advocates, researchers, social justice activists, and digital strategists who are calling and working for universal access to abortion pills to end an early pregnancy and to destigmatizing and normalizing the modern option of a self-managed or at-home abortion. They are also busy trying to lay the groundwork for over-the-counter access to abortion pills. They say they believe that everyone should have access to Plan A, birth control to prevent pregnancy, Plan B, emergency contraception, and Plan C, abortion pills. I can only assume that they likewise believe in the natural progression of Plan D and E, surgical abortion and infanticide, when the need arises and the other methods have failed. Overall, the site seems to really be dedicated to encouraging women to take the killing of their unborn child into their own hands. They make the claim that using the abortion pill does not require the presence of a doctor, although many women choose the support of a medical professional as they go through the process, the site declares. Under the tab, How Do Abortion Pills Work?, they write, abortion pills work by blocking the flow of progesterone to the developing pregnancy using mifepristone and causing the uterus to cramp and expel what's inside using the second drug, misoprostol. These effectively cause a miscarriage. How tripe there. This usually involves a few hours of heavy bleeding and cramping and several days of lighter bleeding. Under those polite statements that hide the violent reality of what an abortion actually does to both a woman and her unborn child, they have a Planned Parenthood video discussing further how a medical abortion works. The site also tries to cover all the options that are out there for acquiring the abortion pill, which are becoming quite varied now, and include online pharmacies, digital abortion clinics, telemedicine services, and the old-fashioned in-clinic option. They also provide links on how to actually order the pill online and on where to find instructions for using them. They break the chemical abortion down into two methods, the clinician-supported abortion and the self-managed abortion, which means a woman finds the abortion pills on her own and then takes them at home without consulting a physician. Again, the site claims that a self-managed abortion is completely safe. They do say if, however, you should become frightened by the amount you are bleeding or if you have any other problems, you should visit an urgent care provider and just say that you've had a miscarriage, but that there is no need to tell them the cause of the miscarriage. In fact, they say you shouldn't. Also, if you're wondering what to do with the tissue, you should just flush it down the toilet, they say. But they warn, sometimes when abortion pills are taken later in pregnancy, there is more tissue, and it can be hard to know how to dispose of it because you run the risk of your foul deed being found intact in the public sewer system if you flush it down the commode. Alas, they don't provide any suggestions or alternatives for what to do with your baby's remains other than to use the loo, probably thinking it best since any surprise discoveries would be difficult to trace back to your bathroom. Let all of this sink in. The sewer lines of our cities, suburbs, and rural areas literally flow with the bodies and blood of the innocents. By the way, did you know that the company that produced Cyclone B for the Nazi Holocaust has a strong connection to the company that developed RU486, the abortion pill? Zyklon B was the trade name of a cyanide-based pesticide that was used to poison and kill at least 1 million people in the gas chambers at Nazi concentration camps. After World War II, the German chemical manufacturer IG Farben was identified as the company that had supplied the gas used to kill the Jews and others deemed unfit by Hitler. Evidence shows that Farben's executives knew what it was being used for and that their engineers actually designed the gas chambers. We must note that IG Farben was a financial partner with John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil of New Jersey. It is said that within 3 months after Hitler came to power, the publicity director of the Rockefeller Foundation, a personal advisor to John D. Rockefeller himself, was assigned the responsibility of directing public relations for IG Farben. After the war, IG Farben changed its name and became known as Hoechst AG. One of Hoechst's subsidiaries, Roussel Ouklof, is the French company that developed RU486. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 say, "What has been, that will be. What has been done, that will be done. Nothing is new under the sun. Even the thing of which we say, 'See, this is new,' has already existed in the ages that preceded us." Unfortunately, the world simply moved from one Holocaust to another. Anyway, current FDA guidelines approve the use of mifepristone, the abortion-inducing drug, only through the first 70 days of pregnancy, or up to 10 weeks. And as you can readily guess, that's not enough for the abortion industry. They want to also make it easier for women to end later-term pregnancies using the abortion pill. So, abortion organizations have been busy funding and conducting research and studies in hopes of one day soon convincing the FDA and others that the abortion pill works just fine for later-term abortions. A couple of years ago, Real Clear Investigations broke a story about one such clinical trial that was quite disturbing. It seems that in order to make it as safe as possible for women here in America and in other developed nations to use the abortion pill later on in pregnancy, an experiment was conducted in at least one impoverished African country. About mid-2017, a clinical trial to test the efficacy of second trimester abortions using a two-drug combination was begun in four locales in the tiny northwestern African nation, Burkina Faso, a country that has one of the worst life expectancies in the world and where medical facilities and blood supplies are limited. Apparently, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists was having difficulty in recruiting American women to participate in a study of midterm drug-induced abortions. So, Genuity Health Projects, a New York-based group aligned with Planned Parenthood, rallied to help and ultimately found some poor women in Burkina Faso to be the guinea pigs. Incidentally, Genuity has also been instrumental in sponsoring research that helped hasten the legality of dispensing abortion drugs through telemedicine. So, Genuity recruited an estimated 100 Burkina Faso women who were 13 to 22 weeks pregnant and who were willing to undergo a surgical abortion in the event that the chemical one failed. Now, excessive bleeding is one of the common side effects of the abortion pill. If you watched the movie Unplanned, you got a graphic representation of what is involved in a chemical abortion. And these dangerous side effects of the chemical abortion can easily be multiplied for later-term abortions. Real Clear Investigations actually spoke with the study's director, and she confirmed that blood supplies were a concern during the study, and that there were, quote, "big problems of need in blood bags," close quote. You know, at the very least here, even if you are an abortion supporter, wouldn't you have to at least question the ethics of conducting such a trial in a country like Burkina Faso with limited medical facilities and blood supplies? So many in the world today allow themselves to be guided by utilitarianism, even if it is impoverished Black women who have to suffer for the sake of the so-called common good. At any rate, with such studies going on and the push to get the FDA to approve the abortion pill for later term abortions, it is probably only a matter of time before unborn children on the cusp of viability are going to be delivered into toilets and onto bathroom floors in both private and public residencies with greater and greater frequency. Well, chemical abortions certainly pose a huge challenge for the pro-life movement. Margie Dannenfelser said they are quite traumatic in the sense that a woman becomes simultaneously the patient and the abortionist. Many women who take the abortion pill are left quite surprised by the reality of what it actually entails. They are not prepared for the amount of blood and clots they will see. And some are not braced for the image of the unborn child that they might behold. There are plenty of websites out there detailing the horrors that many women go through having a chemical abortion. On sites like PlanCPills.org, chemical abortions are marketed as easy and convenient with minimal problems. But the reality is that this is the farthest thing from the truth. In one recent case study, researchers from Iowa State University examined the stories of women who had undergone chemical abortions. The authors noted that these women went the abortion pill route rather than the surgical because it was more private. They could do it in their own home. It was more convenient, and they thought they'd have more control. Having a self-managed abortion sounded empowering to them. But come to find out, it was anything but that. To start with, the authors noted that more than 50% of the women from the study said that either the baby's father or someone else close to them pushed them to have the abortion. These women believed not that abortion was a good option, but their only option, and that by going the pill route, it would at least limit the damage. One woman who participated in the study wrote, "They all tell you it's your choice in the moment, but you don't feel that it is. Being unable to afford it, unable to tell your loved ones, not having the help, or feeling unable to support a child. When your partner doesn't want it like you do, all these things push you, blind you to a decision that you don't realize will destroy you." According to the paper, women had horrible physical reactions to the pills, causing them to feel misled and deceived by the information given them. Nearly 40% of the women from the study reported struggling with anxiety, depression, drug abuse, and suicidal thoughts as a result of the abortion. "From the outside, our life looks exactly the same as it would have," one woman wrote, "but on the inside, everything has changed for me." This poor woman's complaint cannot be reduced to saying it's a problem only in her mind. The truth is, her abortion really did cause her grave psychological harm, and science backs it up. In a 2019 study published in the journal Frontiers in Neuroscience, a team of researchers from Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, and the School of Medicine at San Sebastian University in Chile found that RU486's cocktail of chemicals produced significant negative biological and behavioral changes in rats, including signs of anxiety and depression. Rats whose pregnancies were terminated with RU486 showed significant decrease in body weight and food intake and sharply reduced activity, well-recognized markers of depression and anxiety, the authors say. Aside from the poor mental health effects from the abortion pill, there are also numerous other problems that a woman can have. Of course, we already mentioned significant blood loss and even hemorrhaging. Australian researchers found that while 1 in 3,000 women undergoing an early surgical abortion lost more than a liter of blood, that figure rose to 1 in 200 for the abortion pill. The scientist also found that 1 in 480 women using the abortion pill had to be admitted to a hospital because of infection, most likely due to an incomplete abortion. Women taking the abortion pill also report severe and painful cramping, nausea, vomiting, and dizziness. There are many sites out there that log women's complaints who have taken this chemical concoction, and it doesn't make for pleasant reading. Of special note is the National Right to Life group over in the UK that has recorded many women's testimonies after taking the abortion abortion pill during the COVID lockdown. Last year, the UK government made its biggest change to abortion law since 1967, temporarily allowing do-it-yourself home abortions with the pill until the pandemic is over. UK women were, and still are, left to deliver their own dead unborn babies at home without direct medical supervision. A couple of the experiences that UK Right to Life has documented include the following. I understood I was going to have cramps, but I didn't realize just how bad it was going to be. 2 hours after I took the tablets, I started bleeding. About 6 hours later, the pain was unbearable. I was lying on my bathroom floor, curled in a ball. I was sweating. My temperature was nearly 104 degrees. I couldn't move. I had diarrhea and vomiting. I was shivering, shaking, sweating. I thought I was going to die. The next day, I felt really sick, faint, and dizzy. I'm still bleeding even now, a few weeks on. Another woman confided, I'd been warned it would be painful, so I did it after I'd put the children to bed. It kicked in straight away and was all over and done with within a few hours. It was quite painful, really strong cramping. You do pass a lot of blood, and I was warned I might see the fetus, so I sat on the toilet and didn't look. I ended up lying in the bath trying to keep the pains at bay, and I didn't get much sleep that night. It was a lot worse than I'd expected. The pain, the physical process was horrible. Although I didn't want to continue the pregnancy, I hated the thought of just flushing it away. Aside from all the problems that can occur to a woman's mind and body from taking the abortion pill, she may also undergo the crippling discovery of seeing her dead baby. That's why many, like this woman, do not even look. But for those who have come face to face with what actually happens, it is traumatic and highly emotional, to say the least. And there are plenty of testimonies, again, including this one from Live Action News by a woman named Salome. It took about 30 minutes for the cramps and bleeding to start. I remember thinking, okay, so this should be over in an hour or so, but it wasn't. During that time, I felt like my inside was being torn and sliced to pieces. I had blood all over my legs and went into the tub to wash them. The cramps got so bad I couldn't even move. I couldn't even cry. After hours of hurting, I finally felt a huge physical relief, and the pain was immediately gone. I managed to get up. When I turned around, I saw the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I saw my child. It was at that moment that it finally sunk in properly. I really had been pregnant. I had been carrying the life I created inside of me until that very moment. Right after that, I cried and cried for hours. I put my child in a little box and kept saying I was sorry for what I had done. I was weeping and screaming, but nothing could turn back time. I felt like a part of me died. I felt angry. I felt guilty. I felt like my world was coming to an end and that I was the most terrible person on this earth. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It was the most beautiful thing I ever created, and I destroyed it. The sweeping injunction on Indiana's pro-life laws granted just weeks ago by Judge Sarah Evans Barker has left the state with little room now to protect the lives of women and their unborn children unless there is a stay placed upon it. As Indiana Right to Life has noted, her injunction has deregulated and misregulated abortion so thoroughly that mail-order do-it-yourself abortions seem to be Indiana's future. How many women's lives and unborn lives have to be utterly shattered before this Holocaust will end? We're going to need the most innovative responses we can muster and helpings of prayer and penance to go along with it. At the time of World War II, things must have seemed pretty bleak, but saints like Maximilian Kolbe rose up and gave his life so that others might live. Following his example, may we too courageously dedicate our lives to building up a culture of life, even if everything around us seems dismal and gloomy. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us continue to heed the warning of St. Maximilian that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.